Welcome to 3GT, the podcast where three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner, discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to Three Guys Theologizing. It's so good for you to join us today. I am one of your co-hosts, Scott Hunt from Marion, Indiana. I don't want to sell Kyle Borg short.
Nope.
He is a co-host as well, and I know how easy it is to hurt his feelings if I do not call him a co-host.
Ouch.
I'm also joined by our other regular co-host, Barry York.
How are distinct, but we are equal in co-hosting responsibilities.
I don't think we're equal. Well, in responsibilities, yes, but in talent, no.
Oh, everybody knows. That's a given. I wasn't going to go there because I'm humble.
Yes, you are, Kyle, and we all love you for it. I don't have a great introduction or segue into today's topic. I think it was the last episode, Kyle was talking about targets, you know, him painting targets on his back. Mm-hmm. But yet I'm the one that keeps getting these darts shot at me from him. I don't get it.
But Scott, this is why people tune in. That's what you've got to appreciate about the character of this podcast. People tune in for my humor. They tune in to see how you're going to get your feathers ruffled. And then President York comes in and he rescues the whole thing.
It's almost like a sitcom. We need dramatic tension.
We do. I'm just building the tension.
Well, I want to talk today. The one topic I wanted to address was the failing or the irresponsible shepherds, as it's labeled in Ezekiel 34. But alas, I won't do that. I was going to point the finger at anyway.
We know what you were going to do.
But cooler heads prevail. But I do want to talk a little bit about something that's addressed in Ezekiel 34. If you're not familiar with that passage of scripture, I would commend you to pause the podcast and go read this section. What we're dealing with, or what Ezekiel is dealing with in Ezekiel 34, is the wandering sheep. And so that's kind of what I want to address today, wandering sheep. Is it fair to say, both of you, that probably one of the most difficult parts of being a shepherd, and I know I am too, but I sometimes feel like teaching elders feel this even more acutely, but when sheep wander from your congregation, how does that affect you as pastors? As you're preaching on the Lord's Day and seeing the place where somebody used to sit, but they're wandering, how does that affect you?
Well, at the heart of your question really is just the sense that we all know what it means to wander. Isaiah said, we all like sheep have gone astray. And so by our human nature, because of our sin, we are all wanderers. but particularly when you're talking about the fact of someone who has been rescued from those wanderings and brought into the church through the gospel, and you've known their fellowship for time, and then you see them go back into what they had once been redeemed from, that's one of the most excruciating pains to the heart of a pastor. And it's some of the most difficult work in the ministry is how to shepherd people who are wandering from you, because there's a variety of reasons why they might do so.
Sure. And we may get to that, but go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I was just going to say it is a huge burden. It is of all the pastoral burdens, I think, to see the absence in the worship especially, but also the fellowship of the church members, you know, it sometimes you almost run the risk, you know, I don't want to sound self-serving. I think it's a godly sorrow. You realize this is not right. You know, there's something going on here. There's something going on behind the scenes. There's an issue here that needs to be addressed. But you know, wandering sheep really is, in my experience and in my opinion, one of the most burdensome things. That, you know, if people want to know what keeps their pastor up at night, it is wondering, you know, where are these people? Why are they not returning phone calls? Why are they not wanting to be a part of the worship and the fellowship of the church? And it is very difficult. And like Barry said, often opens the door for some of the most difficult shepherding, because it just opens the door to some of the most difficult shepherding. I'm sure we'll get more into that.
Sure. So, you know, I don't want to say that, I don't want to sound crass here, but in the life of the church and the way that Satan likes to work, and Jesus even mentioned this in his parable of the seed, there are some seeds that are sown and then choked out as they grow up. The cares and concerns of this world choke them, you know, and take them away from that faith. So the reason I say that is it's not unexpected to see in a congregation. Is that a fair statement? I'm not saying that it should be expected, but it's not unexpected.
No, it's not unexpected. You know, it is as a pastor, as an elder in the church, you have to have some moderated expectations. And Jesus says this is going to be a reality of the visible church on this side of eternity. You know, we can expect sheep to wander. That doesn't make it easier, because as we'll get into it, it opens the doors to a lot of challenges. But it's also, you know, you have to, as a pastor and as an elder in the church, you just have to understand that, you know, the church is composed of sinners, and the things that the church is committed to, be it worship, be it fellowship, these are not things that naturally spring up in our hearts as things that are of value and things that we truly cherish. You know, it requires spiritual love. It requires something given by the Holy Spirit, because these are not things that we naturally gravitate toward. And so we have to, again, not to say, well, we expect it to happen and it's A-okay when it does, but we do have to pastor and be elders with the expectation that this happens. This is commonplace in the Church of Jesus Christ.
I would just add to that though it's to be expected, it's always shocking. It's always surprising. It's always usually someone you would never think would go that way. It seems to so often happen. And, you know, we're given warnings about this repeatedly through the scriptures. There's even, you know, some books I think that we could say are devoted to this concept, like the book of Hebrews, where people were straying away from the faith, and the writer of Hebrews is calling them back to the true things of God. So it's certainly something that regularly occurs in the church, and it's part of the work of pastoral ministry, is that we have to think about what we're going to do when people wander and stray away.
Sure. And I think that's kind of where I want to go with this here is how do we do it? What is the pastoral ministry like? And when you're dealing with a wandering sheep, my first question to you is when sheep wander, and I would suspect that each of us in the ministries that we have had in the church have seen this. What is your first response when you see a sheep begin to wander, or they have wandered for a time? What is your response as a minister of the word, as an elder in the church? What is your first response?
I think, like Kyle has alluded to, I think we need to really think like Christ. Like, we have to remember that he is the good shepherd, and that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And there are sheep that wander from the fold, and that we have to go after them. And the verses that you referenced in Ezekiel, a part of his condemnation is against the false shepherds. And one of the things he says about the false shepherds is that they did not go and seek the lost. And when they did have the sheep amongst them, they took advantage of them. But one of the real definitive things the Lord declares against them is their failure to go and chase down the sheep, so to speak. But then in contrast, he says, I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, Ezekiel 34:15. He goes on to say other things he'll do for the sheep. But one of the foremost things about our Lord is he didn't stay in heaven, he took on the form of man so that he could be a visible true shepherd and redeem his people. And so we have to think, if I've got that shepherding mantle upon me that he's given to me as a pastor and elder, then our duty is that we have to go after these people. And that's not, you know, in the modern evangelical church where people can think that they're just allowed to come and go as they please, to actually be in a church setting where if you start going away from the church, you're going to have people pursuing you. You have to work with people before they come in just to get them used to that concept because it's so foreign to so many.
But I think what Barry is saying there is so pivotal, because unless I'm the only pastor that deals with this, the innate first response is not to do that.
Yeah.
There's always the temptation when you begin to see people absent from worship, when you see them absent from the life of the church. Barry's right. Our first thing is to get a Christ-like attitude. But you find, even as an elder, that Christ-like attitude comes with some conflict. You know, I will readily admit, you know, I'll bear a little bit here. I have to actively work sometimes not to take it personally. You know, you love the congregation that you are called to shepherd, and everything that you are trying to do, Lord willing, is for their good and it's for their edification. From the sermons that are preached, you know, I hate putting my sermons online. I preach these things for my congregation, for the people that I've been called to pastor. You know, whether it's the things that we teach or the fellowship activities that the church has, these things are geared for the good of people. And it's an expression of sincere and deep pastoral love that we do this. And when people remove themselves and begin to wander and are absent, I will readily admit, I have to fight against the, oh, my feelings are so hurt, let me now descend into self-pity. You know, I have to fight hard against that sometimes because it is easy to take it personally. And I need the Christ-like attitude. Christ is the great shepherd. You know, the sheep are not rejecting me. They're turning their back on the chief shepherd. And that needs to be the motive then. Or it's very easy to be overcome by fear. You know, oh, so-and-so has not been present. They're removing themselves from worship and life. Oh, this is going to lead to a confrontation. And yeah, there's fear there. You know, it's not easy to go after wandering sheep. It can lead to conflict. It can lead to arguments. You know, somebody once said, you know, you ask people to commit their money and their time, and it's the quickest way to begin to enter conflict. And here it's time. You know, you need to be with the church. You need to be in worship when the church is called to worship and the fellowship. And so fear can be one of the innate first knee-jerk reactions, and you need to, again, have the mind of Christ, that this is what the shepherd does. And any other, you know, there's other knee-jerk reactions. It's going to be awkward, you know, whatever, but you have to get that Christ-like mind when you prepare.
So if I understood the question correctly, Scott, you were asking, what should we do? Of course, Kyle is giving what we often do. And I totally agree with that, that I have the same fears and the same doubts and the same self-pity that arises. And that's why the only way to be able to do what I should do is just to look to Christ.
Yeah. And I appreciate, you know, both of you, you both touched on some really, I think, important aspects of it. I want to address both of those. I kind of want to ask about this taking it personally. At what point do we stop and ask, are we the reason that these sheep are straying, and how do we deal with that? And I think that goes along with Kyle's comment about taking it personally. You know, are we the reason? How do we handle that?
Yeah, I think a little degree of careful patience is required. It's very easy as an elder, when people begin to wander and stray, to begin building scenarios in your head. What is it and why is it that they have strayed? And then it's very easy, because we understand the sinfulness of the human heart, to then compose ways to respond to the hypothetical scenarios. And so I think, first and foremost, as I think about shepherding those who stray, I, you know, it's not that I don't want to be introspective and say, well, is there something about my ministry, the way that I've carried myself, things that I have said that have alienated them? But I also want to be careful to not assume too much. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and be able to open the door without Kyle's already prejudged hypothetical scenarios, you know, because that will just cause extra headache and heartache. You know, how many of us as pastors, and it's common, right? Because it's the human heart. We tend to respond to things that are adverse to conflict in that way. We build 1,000 scenarios in our mind. We find ourselves responding to those scenarios. So I think there's a place to step back and say, you know, is this the result of something I've done? Is it not? But I really, personally, I want to extend patience and to be able to hear from them before I form too many.
Yeah, and I think that the way people leave sometimes gives you the clues as to why they're leaving. You know, if they just start becoming erratic in worship, maybe you know that they struggle with certain sins and you have a sense maybe they're getting led and tempted back into that, then I'd be less likely to take it personally. If I preached a message on a Lord's Day and I see a reaction and then they're not there, you know, then I can put two and two together. But that's why the pursuit's so important, because I think as we go and engage them, if there is something that I or the church has done that's hurt them or led to some offense, then that should be part of what we're willing to deal with them. And so not making too many assumptions, because I've thought at times I knew why someone was leaving and I was clueless, because I can't know their heart until they reveal that to me. So there has to be that engagement of conversation.
And I'd say not only with the engagement of conversation, but what Barry has said too, to piggyback on that, this is one of the benefits of a plurality of elders, a plurality of shepherds. You know, if Kyle did cause something for these people to leave and they're uncomfortable expressing that to me, well, send another elder. You know, I'd rather have these things discussed and figure it out. And I think that's why there is such a need for all the elders in a church, not just the pastor, to go after the wandering members. Because it is possible that the pastor did or said something that offended them. And well, what a benefit then to have a plurality of elders to be able to go and discuss those things.
I think that's really helpful. Something Barry said about seeing the sheep begin to stray while they are in the pew. It's almost like you get a sense they're starting to detach. And you've talked about the Christ-like attitude needed as to shepherd these people who are pulling away or who are disengaging. What are some of the things that pastors and elders can and should do when we begin to see these tendencies to pull away from worship or missing times of fellowship? What are some of the things that we should
be doing? Well, I think we should be creating an environment where it becomes increasingly difficult for people to pull away. So if I get the sense that somebody seems to be growing a little distant and a little cold, I'll go the extra step and, you know, try to initiate, try to take them out for lunch, have them over, something like that. Because, you know, the more contact that you establish, then suddenly the harder it does be. Because oftentimes, right, yes, sheep wander for all kinds of reasons. And many times it's just laziness. It's just negligence. It's an introvertedness, for lack of a better term. And you know, to be establishing those connections then makes it a little more difficult at times for them to pull away.
Yeah, I think congregations just can have the tendency to grow colder, to be less zealous for the Lord, to, you know, relationships have to be maintained, and it can be easy to get negligent. Pastors can get distracted. For instance, let's say there's a big case going on in the presbytery and their minds are all on that, and they don't take care of the things at home because they're being pulled away to other things. So we have to, I think at times it takes a lot of prayer to stir ourselves up, to stir our elders up. That are we really doing the shepherding work that we need to be doing? Are we really looking at the spiritual condition? The scriptures talk about know well the condition of your flock. Do we know that condition well? And are we doing some of the things that Kyle mentions there to pursue and to encourage healthy relationships and in those that we're shepherding? Our congregation right now, as we've just sistered off another group, and then we're trying to regroup as a congregation and to think what does life look now for us? Our elders have thought through some specific commitments, some core commitments that we'd like to see from our members. And we're communicating those to people currently. And it's a way of, in a sense, rallying everyone around common themes, common banners, common Christian practices, so that we can be more greatly invigorated in our faith with one another. And I think as you go through the life cycles of churches, there come seasons where you can really wane in your love for one another. And I think it takes the leadership of the church to stir those passions back up to engage people. And so we do, I think it's really important for us to look self-reflectively upon the congregation. If people are starting to wander, not just blame it only on a person who just says, I don't see much of, you know, much life here. Sometimes they're actually telling you the truth. Now, the reaction might not be the right response to it, and you have to address that. But it is good and important, I think, to think on the ministry as you evaluate these things.
And what I love about what Barry is saying is it's so necessary here, at least ideally, to say how proactive we need to be. You know, having experienced it, having been there, there's nothing more awkward than when a sheep does wander and all the, you know, you get together and you're like, well, you know, who's been in contact with this person? Mm-hmm. And you find nobody has, you know, mm-hmm. nobody has. And that doesn't then say, well, we are freed from the shepherding responsibility, but we need to acknowledge we just created a very difficult circumstance because we haven't been proactive. You know, this is so true with college students so often who leave the confines of this local church and you know, they attend elsewhere or they don't, or they get into college life. One of the things that I've tried to do, I've really got to work hard to keep up with my college students because, you know, if they leave and we find out 4 years down the road, well, they haven't been to church, they're doing this, they're doing that, but we haven't communicated with them. We need to, but boy, we've created a very difficult circumstance by failing to be proactive and continuing to minister in their lives.
Mm-hmm. That's really easy to do. I you're making me feel guilty, Kyle.
it is very easy to do. Sadly, it's mm-hmm. very easy to do, but you know, we've seen as elders in the church, we see this play out so many times, which is why it's so important. Mm-hmm.
I just can remember a time or two in my ministry, especially as a church planter and going out and seeking people and wanting to bring in new people. I know there were some occasions where in doing that, then I began to neglect the ones that were already in the fold. And sometimes they would tell me and I would say, you know, you're right. And we would re-engage again. And so it's very easy to not do things well when it comes to shepherding work. And it's a constant need as I think elders to keep talking to one another and stirring each other up to faithfulness.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful in getting our minds and our hearts in the right place. What are some of the challenges as we go, you know, hypothetically, we've gotten to this point where somebody's left the congregation or straying. What are some of the practical challenges and practical ways that we can be biblical in reaching out to these straying sheep?
I think one of the challenges, and there's always a fine line, perhaps, at least in our experience, the way we do it, there's a fine line between being patient and being passive, but we are called to be patient. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, the Apostle Paul says, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. There is a patience that needs to be practiced towards wandering sheep. That can be hard, and that can often become a guise for actually passivity and just not doing what we've been called to do. But I do find bearing patiently with people can be a challenge. You know, there are people who wander. There are sheep who wander just for ridiculous reasons. And you just kind of want to say, you know what, time to get over that. But then there are people who wander for more valid and legitimate reasons. You know, their feelings have been very hurt. They carry certain baggage with them. Something was done or something was not done. Real pain was perpetuated. And those aren't things that we can just glaze over. Like you've got to begin to do the difficult work of unraveling that. You know, sometimes people don't always know how to deal with those things. And so there are instances where this has been going on for years, and it's a huge knot of anger and bitterness and hurt. And shepherds are called not just to chase those who are wandering, but to begin to untie those knots. And that can be very difficult. That can be so challenging to do, and to do so with love, and to do so with an eye to reclaim. And, you know, there are times where you're just like, you know what, in a human sense, it'd just be easier to cut loose and just let them go. But a shepherd never does that. A shepherd can't do that.
I think too, it's just difficult to confront people in sin. Just thinking back over some occasions where members would go back into a very sinful lifestyle. Sometimes it would be hard to find them. Like they would just disappear because they were in this underworld, this dark underworld of sin. Or if you go to there or try to engage them, you just have to be careful. Like it says in the book of Jude that you have mercy on some, snatching them out of the fire, and being careful that you yourself don't get burned, so to speak, in the process. So to me, confronting people over their sins, as Kyle's saying, you know, a lot of times this ends up becoming matters for church discipline if it's ongoing, but still learning how to do it in a patient way, a loving way. You want the people to see you coming at them, not red-faced and angry and all maybe doing a caricature of John the Baptist where I think I'm up here shaking a fist and trying to get you out of your sin. But I think a shepherd goes more with a pleading voice and some tears in the eye because you see what sin's doing to someone once again, and you want to see them rescued.
And with that too, I think one of the challenges is getting across to those who are wandering, look, we are trying to reclaim you, not so that you can be a warm body in the church, not so that, oh, now you can just check off your attendance box and they're going to lay off of me now. We want to reclaim while at the same time pastoring them to have a big understanding of what it means to belong in the pasture of Christ and what a privilege it is and how worthy Jesus is to be served and loved and worshiped by you. You know, it's very easy to turn this into just a matter of achievement. Okay, well, fine. I'll just do what you want me to. Well, I want you physically present, but more than that, I want you to be engaged. Like when you're coming to worship, I want you to worship and with fellowship. And I think that's also one of the challenges is to try to communicate this isn't about formality. This is about you're a vital member of this church and you have a place here to serve and to be served and to edify and to be edified. And that's the goal here. And that can be very hard.
Right. I think another example, Scott, would be when someone leaves the church, but they haven't left the body of Christ. They start going to another church. And I know that can be a very difficult thing as a pastor to accept. And again, usually that has to do with it could do with theological reasons. It could do with ministries. I know some people have gone to other churches just because they like the type of ministry that congregation had. And that's where I think we do have to remember that as important as it is for people to keep their vows of church membership and be faithful to a local congregation, we also have to realize that they're to be there in a voluntary way, that we're not a cult where we hold you there against your will, so to speak. And so when we see people going to another church, we're going to have to exercise grace, know whether are they putting themselves in danger because this is not really a true church. And so then we have to to respond to that versus, well, it might not be the church I wish they were at, but I still, they're worshiping God. They're in a, it's a faithful congregation. The gospel's preached. And so we've got to allow for that.
Yeah. And you guys bring out a lot of good points about the challenges that, that are faced and the difficulties and really the heart that, that we need to have. We are running out of time as we discuss this. What hope can we have when we see a sheep straying or, you know, somebody pulling away from the congregation? What hope do we have as shepherds in those kind of times?
Well, I think it's the hope of Jesus ultimately. You know, Jesus defined his entire earthly ministry as one who came to seek and to save what is lost. And because Christ is an effectual shepherd, he's going to see to it that none of his sheep are ultimately lost. They may wander for a time in a season. That's so hard. But, you know, we labor and we shepherd with the promise that the one who is the great shepherd is going to raise all of his up on the day, that not one of them will be lost. And we need to be comforted by that and recognize that Jesus' shepherding is effectual. Mine is often not. It's shot through with inconsistencies and weaknesses and neglect and failures and sin and so on and so forth. But the great shepherd of the sheep who gave his life for the flock is going to bring every sheep safely home.
It's a place of great joys and horrible sorrows. There's a lady that we were ministering to early on in the ministry, and she left. It just caused untold trouble. It ended up leading to some division in our church, which I won't even get into. It was just a lot of heartache over a long period of time, even involved the presbytery. But it wasn't too long ago, a few years ago, that this particular lady reached out and talked about how she had come back to Christ. And, you know, just to know that she's walking with the Lord today, she went through a lot of sorrow in between those times and some really difficult situations, but God has redeemed her. And just to hear that story just, you know, made my heart sing with joy. And yet I still have people, some very close to me, that I wish weren't wandering still. And so it keeps your eyes on the Lord. And as Kyle said, that, you know, it's the power of Christ at work. He won't lose one that's his. And so we have to keep that faith and keep that hope in him.
Well, I appreciate your guys' perspectives and thoughts on these. We are glad that you, listener, were able to join us in this conversation. We trust that you've learned some things about the heart of your shepherds that watch over you. We would encourage you to join in the labors of your shepherds, if you are not an elder in your congregation or a leader, to just reach out to those who are wandering and be a friend to the friendless and those who are struggling to come alongside of them. So we thank you for joining us in that. We do want to remind you that we are listener supported, so you can come alongside us at any time and donate if your heart would be so inclined to support this podcast. We also love to hear your feedback. I know as I'm out and about, guys, it does my heart no end of good to hear how we have been used in people's lives. And so we love to hear about that. If you have show ideas, topics that you would like to discuss, please feel free to shoot us an email at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. So we want to thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Scott for 3GT.